bottle it by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my bottle. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this Friday, January 3rd, 2025 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Having some difficulty connecting Pastor Chatfield into the show right now. We're going to work on that. He's got a history lesson prepared for us talking about the 10 most notable inaugural quotes from presidential inaugurations. So we'll reach out to him here and see if we can get him connected. And he's showing up as not being available on Skype. Okay. Let's see. Try this one more time. See if this works. Okay. They're calling him right now. See if we can get him connected. There he is. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good, good, good. I teed you up. You've got 10 inaugural quotes for us kind of stored up. I was hoping you could maybe start off with one here in the short segment, and then we'll be off and running.
Okay, let me ask you. You want me to go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10? You want me to make
Let's start with the number 10 quote and work our way up to number 1 quote.
Okay, I'll make this a quiz in a format for you. See, let everybody know this. Some of them, I just looked this up on the internet. This is not necessarily my choice, and this is just way easier than digging through everybody. I've read probably or heard half to two-thirds of all these inaugural addresses. Maybe, I'm going to give myself credit, two-thirds. There's sure. some of the inaugural addresses after the Civil War, you know, it was somewhat less of an important time that I didn't say. I, as a history teacher, I have an obligation to read it, but some of them I have, but probably two-thirds. Okay, here's number 10. You probably won't get this, but we shall see. Much has been given us, and much will rightfully be expected from us. We have duties to others and duties to ourselves, and we can shirk neither. You got a guess?
Yeah, I'm going to say George Washington.
No. Much later, after the Civil War, okay. around of the turn into the 20th century.
Okay, so that's we're talking 1890s, probably.
Right at 1905.
Oh, okay.
He also said, "Speak softly, but carry a big stick." Teddy Roosevelt. He was the first president that really said, we need to assert ourselves around the world.
Absolutely.
He was the guy that sent the Great White Fleet to Japan, painted our ships white, sent them to Japan, and said, hey, a rising power here, look who we are. Here's part of our Navy. And he built the Panama Canal and believed in American power. First one to really, you know, assert American power. James Monroe.
You know why? Ybor City, Florida. There's a Cuban restaurant down there, ceramic tile walls on the outside, and they still have the hitching posts where Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders went hunting gators down in Florida. And he was an outdoorsman. He was responsible, I believe, for our national park system?
Yes. And you know what? The first, I believe I have this correct, first national park was Mackinac Island. First or second was a national park before state park. Anyway.
Ah, very cool. Did not know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, we got more. Pastor Chatfield, stay on through the break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Are you one of the many people that have always wanted to give to your favorite charity or non-for-profit such as your church, school, or local community, but believe that it's way out of your budget, a goal that you've always wanted to fulfill? Let me show you some strategies that would benefit you and your favorite charity. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890. Serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The gun doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. 10 of the somewhat considered top 10 most quotable inaugural quotations by presidents. Started off with number 10. Let's go to number 9.
All right, you might get this one. Starting today, we must pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and begin again the work of remaking America.
Probably right after the Depression or World War II.
No.
Civil War.
No.
Man, don't embarrass me like this on the radio.
We could just make it a quiz, and
no more quizzes.
Okay. All right. Barack Obama.
No way.
Yes. Listen.
No. I don't even want to discuss this one. I despise the man. I despise his agenda. I firmly believe he was not born a naturalized citizen. He was a Muslim. He lied to the American people. He wasn't a Christian. He played that pastor out there in California. I don't even want to talk about Barack Obama. Go to the next one.
You're the boss. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, here's another one. Number 8. Old truths have to be relearned. Untruths had to be unlearned. We have always known that heedless self-interest was bad morals. We know now that it is bad economics.
I have fleeting words from Ronald Reagan about Jimmy Carter, but I think it goes way back before then.
Yes. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. This was not his first inaugural. We'll get to his first inaugural where he said the most famous line that he ever uttered. But, you know, this is about profit. This was we generally say that the Great Depression began in 1929 when the stock market crashed. Right? But that was the thing that set things in motion and so on and so forth. And then when he was elected FDR in 1932, he had the first 100 days, all these new government programs, and we're gonna restore America and so on and so forth. But by 1937, nothing was better. All the government programs did not bring America out of the Depression. It's just not proven. What brought us out was Pearl Harbor. We had to build our confidence back up. We had to go back to work. We had to spend. We had to. And that really got the economic engine moving. Really, it is what did it. But what he is saying here is heedless self-interest, that pursuit of profit. That's the problem here. And so we need more government intervention, more taking from the wealthy to give to the poor, because we've always known that it was bad morals, and now we know it's bad economics. Listen, the Bible says, he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. It is just a fundamental fact of human history, human activity. The Bible sees it and affirms it, that people work hardest when they work for themselves. When you take away private initiative, reduce the incentive to make money for yourself, you just don't work as hard. And so socialism does not pull anybody ever out of recession or depression. Like quantitative easing and just spending money where the government just pours out more money. It never works. It has never worked because it runs contrary to human nature. I'm not going to work for that which somebody just flat out gives me. It's just,
sure.
That's who we are. And so, yeah, I believe FDR was wrong. It's a good bad statement. It's a famous statement. Kind of shows, now let me just say this. I'm naked capitalism with no heed to Christian values. In other words, not wanting to help the poor. That's bad also. But that needs to be voluntary. That needs to be preachers say, hey, you know, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in certain riches, but in a living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they be ready to distribute, willing to give. I tell Rich, be willing to give to this cause and that cause, but it's got to be from your heart. It should not be from the arm of government. That's the big argument between conservatism and socialism. We say voluntary. We preach it. We believe it. But your government, when it intervenes, it does not work, has not worked, will never work. just doesn't work.
Well, it goes totally against when somebody is forced by the government to do something. Innately, I don't know what it is, but it seems like something is in our human spirit to rebel. You know, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what I have to do with my own earnings. Let me tithe and let me give it freely, bless it, and support something that I want to do on my own. I don't want to be forced at gunpoint, basically, to have to do it. I think that is the sense I get from a lot of people.
Yeah, that is true. Now, we got to have government. George Washington, you got to have government. You got to have taxes. We're not anarchists here, but we want limited government. We want to limit the power and scope of government. That's the basic idea of conservatism. Okay, here's one that you might get, if you know. It's a much earlier quote. It's not George Washington, though. But every difference of opinion is not a difference of principle. We have called by different names brethren of the same principle. We are all Republicans. We are all Federalists.
I'm going to say probably Jefferson right after he defeated Adams for his one-term presidency.
A+, exactly right, 1801, that's Jefferson. See, that was the first really hotly contested presidential race. I mean, 1796 was contested, but this was hot.
Repeat that first sentence.
This was the first hotly contested presidential race.
No. The first sentence of the quote.
But every difference of opinion is not a difference of principle.
That right there, I think, defines his relationship with John Adams. Not necessarily when they were founding fathers creating the country, you know, writing of the Declaration of Independence, but after when we won the war from Great Britain and was in the process of developing the Constitution, forming up our federal government, I think the differences between the two then became more relevant. And I think that's why basically Jefferson ran against Adams and made him a one-term president.
Yes.
That sentence right there in that quote.
Now these guys were brilliant, Adams and Jefferson. But sure. they had differences of opinion. They did. Jefferson was more of a Federalist. That's, you know, a nationalist, if you will. And Adams was. Jefferson was more of a Democrat, small d. He wasn't a Democrat, but he was leaned toward more states' rights, more local government or no government. They were just different on that. But they were all Federalists. They were all Republicans. He was trying to reconcile here. I mean, so that's the statement there. Hey, we're all Republicans. We're all Federalists. That was, it's like when Joe Biden was elected president. He was going to be he ran on the idea of being the great uniter. But he did the opposite. He did not unite. He didn't try to unite. He ran as a moderate and really governed as a really leftist. That is the way that is. And he never adjusted. Never adjusted like Bill Clinton adjusted. He was elected in 1992. His wife came out with what was known as Hillary Care, got smashed. And in 94, you had the Republican Revolution, the contract with America. And then Clinton raced back to the middle. And that's why he was reelected in 96 and had quite a bit done, because he was a politician. He could see the country was not as left as he wanted to be, so he moved to the middle. Anyway, okay, here's another one. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finely staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people.
No idea.
George Washington. Now, here's two phrases that I would have gotten eight of these without help. I would have gotten eight of these. Okay. Here's one thing you say. First of all, Washington believed in the sacred fire of liberty. And what does that mean? He believed that freedom, liberty, was God's gift. And it is sacred. Being born in a free country it is wonderful to be free. Freedom is better than slavery. You believe that? I believe that. Some of my Christian pastor friends, they really don't believe it. They're naive. They're uneducated. Excuse me. I hope they're not listening now. They say, look, I'm born in slavery. So what? Or I'm born in freedom. So what? Does it really matter? I'm serving the Lord. Even the Bible teaches this, and I could prove it if I want to take the time. But no, freedom is better than slavery. So he calls it the sacred fire of liberty. Let's keep it burning. And then he also said that here's a key that I would have gotten this in a second. On the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people, when he first took that oath of office and gave his first inaugural address, America was an experiment. Can people actually govern themselves and not divulge into chaos and anarchy and civil war immediately? The answer ends up yes. Now, it was tested, of course, during the great American Civil War, 80 years later. True. Or 70 years later. That's true. But in the end, Abraham Lincoln, even during the Civil War, submitted himself to a popular election. He says, no, we're going to have an election in 1864. I'm not going to cancel the election. Because if we cancel the election, that almost means that the other side already won. Uh-uh. We're going to have an election. The sacred fire of liberty, love that line, and the phrase experiment entrusted. We're living
experiment.
In an experiment. This is still an experiment to some degree.
Sure.
Okay, this one I would not have gotten. Maybe you'll get it. Surprise me. There is nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by what is right in America.
Ronald Reagan.
No.
Dang.
Bill Clinton.
No, that's right. Okay, I Bill remember Clinton. That now. Yes.
I would not have gotten that because I don't even know what it means exactly.
No, I remember him saying that, and I thought, how interesting. I felt almost when he said it like he was trying to placate a little bit to Newt Gingrich and the Republicans in the Congress.
Well, that was before the contract with America.
Right.
Bill Clinton was a good politician. Make no mistake, he was a good politician. He knew how to maneuver, if you want to call that a good politician.
And that's what they do, a good one is.
You got to maneuver. I know some people don't want to maneuver. They think that maneuvering is sinful or compromise. Listen, Mike Johnson, I think he was a good speaker. And some of the people that oppose him for Speaker of the House, they don't like anybody maneuvering anything.
No.
I mean, They're ignoring what President Trump wants, and they're just, in my view, just stubborn. I hope I hope everything goes well.
Well, we actually had a prayer segment in the last segment of hour number one, and we actually got that as our first prayer request, is that he be elected today in Washington so we can move forward with President Trump's agenda. He can be, basically they can carry out the Electoral College on Monday. And without a speaker, they can't do that. So they got to wrap this thing up.
That's true. You see that fella Massey, the representative from Kentucky?
Thomas Massey from Kentucky, yeah.
Would you have ever have heard of him if he wouldn't have stood up? Oh, I'm not voting for him. No, I'm not too impressed with that gentleman.
I'm impressed with the Freedom Caucus from the standpoint of fiscal responsibility. That part I agree with them. How do you carry it out? That's the problem. That's the situation. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source, your award.